So what is a saint, anyway? I grew up thinking that a saint was a holy and perfect person. A saint was someone like Mother Teresa, or Gandhi, or Dorothy Day, or Martin Luther King Jr., someone whose life exemplified such a sense of selflessness that I could admire them from a distance, but never truly emulate them. Well, now I know that I was only half right. It turns out that God may have a way of seeing all of us as saints, blemishes and all. Hold that crazy thought for a minute and come with me. A saint in our liturgical tradition is someone whose life was lived reaching out towards love. Someone who through words or actions grew beyond their own defined sense of self and offered the world something more. Someone who modeled for others a life that revealed love, generosity, service, patience, anger at injustice, compassion for those who suffer, and courage to risk their own comfort for complacency. At the same time, the church, in her wisdom centuries ago, somehow figured out that it would also be a good idea to commemorate not just those holy superstars, like those I've just mentioned, but also all the faithful departed. So we have added a day on our liturgical calendar called All Souls Day, as well as All Saints. So this morning, we're combining both into one, and we stop for a minute to remember everybody. All the saints named by the church, as well as those souls we have loved and who are no longer with us. This morning, we remember those lives because they still have a place in our hearts through what they taught us and showed us while they were here among us. Today is also a day to symbolically connect us to our future, as well as one of our official days to offer the sacrament of new life through baptism. And even when there is no baptism in a particular church, as is the case today, we still remember that connection by renewing our baptismal vows in place of the Nicene Creed, and we will do so following the sermon. So when we do that in a minute, I invite all of us to join together saying those words, even if you are not yet baptized, which, by the way, I'm happy to take care of for you. These words are both an invitation to life, a life committed to seeking and living out God's love, as well as a confession of our need for God when we make those vows. So now let's turn our attention for a minute to the gospel we just heard, to those familiar words from the Gospel of Matthew that we refer to as the Beatitudes. These are powerful and treasured words to many who have found comfort and hope over the centuries. When heard by those in our culture who have been marginalized, they are not only words of solace, but of strength. These words have become foundational for many faithful followers of Christ. The Jesus portrayed in the Gospel of Matthew is a justice-seeking, equal rights advocate focused on the plight of the poor and other social outcasts, as well as the proper use of wealth. But as I read and reread these verses this week, I wondered if this text gives us more than just comfort and strength. Might these words, especially when read through the lens of All Saints and All Souls Sunday, provide a broader vision, giving us a provocative alternative to our sometimes limited way of looking at and being in the world? How might these words move us towards God's redeeming love? In a wonderful article years ago in the Christian Century, a progressive ecumenical Christian magazine, United Methodist pastor Patricia Ferris offers a wonderful possibility when she writes, The Beatitudes place our lives in the context of the whole realm, scope, and community of God's love and justice. They are more description than instruction, more report than directive. They compose a litany in which all promises point to the same singular reality. They turn the world upside down with their shocking promise of hope to the hopeless, comfort to the bereaved, power to the powerless. They are a powerful antidote to the contrived happiness of consumerism and mindless entertainment of our day. They are good news to all of God's people, the humble of the earth, the strong of heart, all of us who take refuge in God. So maybe in this way, the Beatitudes this morning can connect us to the souls and saints that have come before and yet to come. These words, while historically giving strength and power to those in literal need, also promise connection for each of us, sometimes also in literal need, but sometimes not. Day to day, I know that I need refuge, don't you? Whether from moments when we feel poor in spirit, or hungry for justice, or simply doubting our ability to know and see God in our lives, it is in any and all of these moments that I seek strength from beyond my own limited capacity. So for us refuge-seeking souls, still wandering around, how might we connect with the saints and souls of those who have gone before? Well, over the past century, many Christians have expanded the traditional definition of what it means to be a saint. And this is where you and I come into play. One of my very favorite and more modern definitions of a saint was offered by theologian Frederick Buechner in his classic book, Wishful Thinking. Here's a saint to him. In his holy flirtation with the world, God sometimes drops a handkerchief. Those handkerchiefs are called saints among us. Buechner goes on to say that we may know God is to let time simply stop and to learn, perhaps, from the saint or the handkerchief dropped right in front of you. That person just may be God's handkerchief or God's saint without you even recognizing them. The incredible truth of All Saints, All Souls Day is that all of us are saints in the eyes of our loving God. All of us. I say all. All means all. Our holy handkerchiefs in the eyes of true love. And as we grow and live our lives day by day, one of the most beautiful gifts we receive is recognizing how many saints or handkerchiefs we have bumped into along the way. These are the people in our lives who have left fingerprints on our hearts or deep grooves in our souls, shaping who we are for years to come. For some, these saints come from their family. For others, it may be a teacher, or for someone who just took interest in you as a child. These are not just the people who have been kind and generous, and I hope that there have been many in our lives, but these are the ones who usually, without calling too much attention to themselves, have had an impact on our very beings long after they are gone. These are the people whose lives help connect us with Jesus's desire for us to live our truest God-given selves. And set in the context of the Beatitudes, I remember that they leave these holy and sacred marks on us, not because of any kind of achieved perfection. They have simply lived real lives. And in the living of those lives have changed our lives. Lives that were more often than not also very complicated, lives that may have included struggle and pain and addiction, hunger, fear, loneliness, and doubt, but none of that seemed to block the light shining through them, pointing to what they loved so that we could see that love too. Each of the saints in our lives lived and loved something. They cared about something. They advocated, worked, fought, prayed, challenged, thought, or nurtured something. And it was through that way of loving that they transformed the lives of those around them, whether they intended to or not. Saints interrupt our lives in a way that leaves us forever changed. And so today we pause to reach back to remember and give thanks for each and every one of those holy handkerchiefs. Each name we will hear chanted during our prayer shortly, at some point in our lives, served, helped, laughed, loved, argued, held or inspired someone in this room. Whether rich or poor, weeping or laughing, hungry or full, somehow they pointed one of us directly or indirectly to God. They are what I call everyday saints. Everyday saints are people who live their lives pointing others to what we would call God, or maybe the source of love. And we who are still here for however long a time are called to do the same for others so that they might see God, so that they might love more clearly as well. But don't worry, we don't have to pass a holiness test for this job. In fact, all you really have to do is to dare to be all that God needs and wants you to be through the power of love. The saints are those who in every generation show God's love affair with humanity. We are lucky to be a church with a long legacy and a rich family history. We have over 175 years of everyday saints at Trinity, who have paved the way for us today. It is a wonderful thing to stop for a minute on a day like today and notice the handkerchiefs God has dropped all along the way. This is why the church celebrates All Saints and All Souls Day. And as we renew our baptismal vows today, may we also renew our love for one another, as well as remember the love we have for those who are no longer here. Perhaps the greatest gift we can leave is a legacy of relationships with God and each other, built on faith, dependent on forgiveness and kindness, and trusting God will use all of us, our flaws and our faith, molding us into unlikely everyday saints, little handkerchiefs throughout the world, pointing others to God's love. There are angels hovering round. There are angels hovering round. There are angels.